Welcome to the Raw and Uncensored Ambitious Podcast. During our time here together, I will be instilling all of the strength, power, and determination you will need to use the very stones thrown at you to build your ultimate empire. We will redefine the word bitch from the derogatory to the acronym being in total control of herself. So let's adjust our crowns and prepare to live life ambitiously.
Yeah, here I am, the original HBIC, Katie motherfucking Boyd. All right, on today's podcast, I have an absolute doozy and pleasure, Francesca Primavera. Empowerment and confidence are Francesca's biggest goals as she strives to accomplish with her clients. Francesca began her career in the financial planning world after exploring several different career paths. After doing some self-introspection, she realized that her main purpose is to help others become fiscally fit and empowered with money. She's incorporated her excellent communication skills and her compassionate nature in her work with her clients. Francesca has a strong passion for small business owners, entertainment professionals, and entrepreneurs. She resides in Peabody, Massachusetts with her amazing fiance, and Francesca enjoys cooking Italian food, workout classes, traveling, and binge watching reality television. So listen, you guys, I met Francesca when she was probably about 14 or 15 years old. She was competing in the Miss Massachusetts pageant, and I fell in love with her. I fell in love with her family, and we've always kind of stayed in each other's spheres over the last decade. And now she is an incredible businesswoman. She even taught me some stuff in this podcast, and I'm a rich bitch. But we want to actually, instead of being rich bitches, we want to be wealthy bitches. And she's going to explain to you why. It was such a fun conversation. It was such a full circle moment to be there with this young woman who I admire so much. She's come so far, and you guys are going to absolutely fall in love with her. And at the end of the podcast, if you feel connected to the things that she's saying and you're desiring help, just scroll down to the show notes where you can contact Francesca directly and have a fact finder conversation where she is going to see if you and her are a right fit to start your financial planning partnership life together. Without much further ado, let's get into it with Francesca Primavera on finances. Francesca, thank you so much for being here, taking time out of your busy life. I know that you're in the midst of wedding planning and being a boss bitch. So I am so excited for you just to school the bitches from all across the globe on why money and finances shouldn't be a scary thing.
It is not scary. Thank you for having me. I am so excited to talk about finance. I am a nerd with this shit.
No, I love nerdy bitches because I'm a nerd too.
And it's fun to talk about. It does not have to be scary. I try to make that known through my practice. These conversations don't have to be intimidating. They don't have to be scary. They're just, we want to learn about each other and know how your mind works with money.
Yes.
Because that's how most of us now in our adulthood deal with our money.
Yes.
It all stems from our childhood, don't you think?
Girl, you know, like a lot of what I do with coaching is helping the women that I work with, because I do a lot of business coaching. So helping the women that I work with rewire their brains for money mindset and to realize that a lot of us, and myself included, we weren't taught anything about money. The way I grew up was money doesn't grow on trees. Mm-hmm. What do you think? We're the fucking Rockefellers. We can afford all this shit, right? Or we would go to a store and someone would say, you know, we can't afford that right now, which even though that may have been true at the moment, it impresses into our minds as children that, you know, you have to work hard for money. Mm-hmm. Money's hard to come by. Money doesn't grow on trees, and all of these old programming. So probably a lot of what you do on top of all the amazing stuff that you're going to talk to us about, and I'm so pumped for it, is actually helping women rewire their brain to be wealthy and abundant. And to not be afraid of money. Money is a currency and it should flow freely to us.
Yeah. I mean, I have clients all the time that tell me that they were told that any credit is bad. Like, get away from credit. Don't open up a credit card. And it's like, yes, you don't want to be racking up your credit card bill going to Nordstrom.
Yep.
But let's you know, build a little credit for ourselves. You know, it just, it's all about how you're taught. I was taught, honestly, love my family. They didn't teach me much about money. And that's,
hello, family. And I love your family more than anything.
I love my family. But, you know, all of this was taught for me. I had to teach myself. And I'm glad I went through some shit with, you know, credit card issues or, yep, you know, kind of building up my savings through my early 20s in college. Mm-hmm. But it really stems from how you were taught with money growing up.
So what were the women like in your family growing up, like with money? Can we talk a little bit about
spenders.
That? So they spend the money. Mm-hmm. And did they have and I'll just speak for my own self, like, my mom was actually the one that was in charge of the money because mm-hmm. my dad was just, you know, on benders yeah. when we were little mm-hmm. kids. So my mom would say to me, don't ever rely on a fucking man for money. You have to know everything. You have to be in charge. And then what happens is we as women become very masculine with our money.
Yeah.
Instead of like being in a more feminine space, mm-hmm. there's also women, not so much in my family, but because I'm Portuguese, you're Italian, mm-hmm. very similar,
yes.
Where the men control the money and the women have no idea what their mortgage is, if they have a 401k, they know nothing about any kind of investments.
Yeah.
Forget about the fucking stock market. That's like Chinese to them,
yeah.
right? So there's like that other side of the fence. So I think most women fall in between two categories where they came from a home where the men weren't very strong with that. So the women had to be super masculine with money, or they were the other side of the fence where they were the spenders, but they didn't know where the hell the money was coming, how the bills were getting paid. And a lot of those women, and I work with a lot of them, when they go through some kind of issue in their marriage, whether it's like divorce or a death of a spouse, they are fucked because they have no idea what they're doing.
It's money abuse.
Okay. Let's get into this because my nipples just got hard when you said money abuse, because
it's a thing.
It's a real thing.
It's a real thing. I have women that are like afraid to leave their husbands because their husband controls everything, or they can't make a decision for their personal business or their personal finance because they're afraid to tell their husband.
Scary.
Love my fiance, but we are just so independent and he lets me be me. And so I'm very empowered of knowing what I have and knowing, you know, what I have for myself. And then everything we do together, you know, certain things are merged.
Yes.
But I'm all about meeting with couples before they get married, so they kind of know what each other has, what they have personally, and then they can merge whatever they like together.
Yes.
But yeah, it's just the old school mindset of getting married super young, getting into that relationship, and then you're in it and then you're relying them so much on the money side.
And it's also gender roles, especially if you come from like Italian background, Spanish, Portuguese, whatever. Yeah. It's like the men control the money and the women are the homemakers, mm-hmm. which that has changed exponentially over the last like 40, 50 years, as we all know. But I can't tell you how many women that I work with, same exact thing. They are in abusive marriages. Mm-hmm. They are in just not great situations. And I'll say to them, like, dude, this is abuse. Like, you're being mentally abused, emotionally abused, physically abused, sexually abused. I mean, all across the boards. And they refuse to leave their husbands because they are like, I would not know the first thing of how to take care of myself.
Yeah.
And it makes me so angry.
I mean, most divorces end because of financial problems.
Yeah.
And I definitely believe in, you know, one, you know, extreme to the other. But if you're in an abusive relationship physically, you know, most of the time you don't leave because you're obviously afraid, but you're also afraid because of, you know, not feeling financially independent. So that's why when I have conversations with, you know, single, married, whoever, especially with women, mm-hmm. I love to come across as relatable and not intimidating. Obviously, I'm going to be serious. These are serious conversations, and I'm licensed and I'm, you know, obviously going to be in their best interest, but I also want to be fun and cool and, you know, swear a little and like be, you know, this, you know, younger blonde, like woman on Zoom. Cause that's how I mostly do my meetings now.
Cause usually what everybody in your space is like, old white man, that have been
talking
around
about the stock market, and which that is what we do, but there are plenty of other things that what we do. I mean,
I
had a conversation with a girl this morning. She's 24, you know, still lives with her parents and she's building her career. And she's like, I don't think I'm the right person for you to meet with. And obviously, I would love to meet with, you know,
everyone.
A million Kim Kardashians in my life, but that's a type of net worth.
Yes.
But of course, I don't believe in one client is better than the other. I believe if you're making $1 million or if you're making like $50,000, I don't think there's really a difference with how I prioritize my clients.
Yes.
Because with her, I can really teach her the simple budgeting, savings, getting on her own 2 feet without relying on her parents, dealing with student loans. That's a huge one.
God.
You know, like people are getting like fucked up the ass with like
with no lube.
Interest rates.
Like, Francesca, no lube.
With no,
no yes. fucking lube yes. right up the behind It's true, dude. God. It's so, but no, it's outrageous. Yeah. And this is the thing is what people don't understand is school is a big business.
Yeah.
And that is why the government does not allow people to go bankrupt and bankrupt their student loans. That's the one thing that is uncorruptible and unbankruptible, if that's even a fucking word, in America is student loans. So you can go bankrupt and you can get rid of all your fucking debt, but you cannot get rid of student loans because it is the biggest moneymaker for the government. If I knew back then when I was going to college what I know now, I probably wouldn't have gone to college.
I mean, look at me. I had a communications degree and now I'm a financial planner.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy how life works. But another thing with student loans, it's terrible. I have clients that are paying like upwards to like $1,100 a month.
That's
just
like
student
more
loans,
than someone's
and they're
mortgage.
In their early 20s.
But, so you just get up every day and you go to work and you just to pay your fucking student loans. That's sad.
But there's ways to get around that. You can refinance. There's, you know,
of course.
But student loans aren't necessarily bad debt. So don't be rushing to pay those off. I have clients that are just like, I want to get rid of my student loans.
And they're very low interest usually.
Yes, but sometimes they're higher. But bastards. I'm like, don't rush to pay those off, especially if you're still like getting into your career.
Yep.
It's considered good debt. It's because you're, you know, essentially like, or have the opportunity to make more money in the future. And it's considered good debt on the balance sheet.
Yes.
But, you know, don't rush to pay those off.
See that? I've never heard that.
Yeah.
And I love that you're saying this because so many young women I work with say the same thing to me. Like, I'm so fucked up. I have so much student debt. I have so many, you know, student loans and stuff like that. And they're like, I just want to pay them off. But you're saying probably chill the fuck out. There's other things you can be focused
on. You can pay higher than the minimum, but don't be rushing and killing yourself over that. If you have credit card debt, that's a priority.
Yes.
If you don't have an emergency fund, that's a priority.
Mm-hmm.
Like those are more, you know, I think handling the risk side of planning, which is like my phase one with my clients.
Mm-hmm.
You want to definitely make sure you're avoiding the risk. So that's really the first thing I do with my clients. Obviously, we want to eventually have a plan with those loans.
So tell me how you meet with clients.
Yep.
And I think it's so cool because you don't just meet with people that are like, I'm an old man and I just need you to help me. You actually meet with a lot of really cool people. Like you work, tell the people out there in the bitches land, like all the different demographics of people and ages of people that you work with.
So I lived in LA for about 5 years and I worked in talent management, which was a crazy job. Mm-hmm. Loved it, but hated it. I did some really cool things, met some really cool people, wasn't for me.
Yeah.
Just wasn't for me.
You're an East Coast girl.
Yeah. And just the money was terrible. Mm-hmm. But anyway, and I was just being mentally abused. But that's another conversation.
Happens. We'll have you back for that conversation on the next podcast.
My trauma. No. So I met a lot of great contacts from that job. I was an assistant, but also like an account coordinator. I was able to do so much for the small agency I was working for. So I met so many great contacts. So now in this career, I have made a pledge to myself to never cold call. So all my clients, all my referrals are just from either my clients that I have or just people in my network. So I was able to create so many.
Do they want you to cold call?
No, they don't. They don't prefer it, but some people have to. But luckily,
they have no choice.
Luckily, I have made a great platform
That's awesome.
That job and just from even knowing you.
Yeah.
Now I get to work with, you know, I've met with porn stars. I've met
Love
with
this.
OnlyFans. I've met with Dominatrix. I don't even know if I'm
Dominatrix.
Saying that. Dominatrix.
Yeah, Dominatrixes.
Right.
Dominatrixes.
All
the above.
Actors, producers, you know, but then also I meet with people that are here locally that are in, you know, normal careers.
Yes, yes.
But I have a very wide range of clientele, which I love. I don't see myself having a niche of just meeting with people with, you know, their white picket fence and their like four kids.
Mm-hmm.
I want to meet with people that aren't normally approached in the financial planning space. So I'm really passionate just from that job. I learned a lot about those careers of actors and influencers that, you know, they usually come from nothing.
Yes.
And then they work their ass off,
yeah.
you know, waitressing, bartending, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they come into a great sum of money, either if that's like they just started, you know, fucking around on OnlyFans and then they made a bunch of money or they booked a series regular role and they're making $50,000 an episode.
Right.
And they're like, what do I do with this money? And sometimes I meet with people and they're like, unfortunately, I did really well last year, but I blew it all. Like, you know, so dealing with that variable income, knowing how to manage that, because I feel like it's a challenge for my side to help with someone variable income, because 1 month they can be making 30,000 and one month they could be making nothing.
That's so true.
But learning how to deal with that, they don't come home with a book full of benefits. They don't have a 401k.
Yeah. You know? If you're dressing someone up in a ball gag and whipping them, you're probably not like, I should probably get a 401k.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not educated on, you know, any like insurance or anything to do with that. So, and it's great when they book something and they're just like, this is so exciting, but let's, you know, I always say 50% of your income to fixed expenses, 30% to your future. So that's, you know, any term of, you know, life planning, like retirement or savings or any of that risk side of things. And then 20% to your fun.
Yeah.
So, and then
I love this. It's a good equation.
Yeah. And then once we establish that risk side of things, we can switch the fun with the risk planning, but let's get the 30% towards our goals.
And you're working with a lot of people. Like I also work with similar people where they come into large sums of money and they never have gained the wisdom and then education on like what to actually do with it. Mm-hmm. So then they go, I'm going to get bottle service every night at the club. Yep. I'm going to go buy all the Louis Vuitton bags, all the Christian Louboutins. I'm going to take all my friends on a fucking vacation. I'm going to pay for it. This is what happens. Same thing with like athletes that came from like nothing. Some people came from the ghetto. And then all of a sudden you're living in like South Central LA where you're getting like fucking shot at every day. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you're like this famous basketball player making millions of dollars
a year. And then if you're not, you know, working with the right people, we'd focus on tax strategy. I'm not a CPA, but we focus on tax strategy. When you're in sports, you have to pay taxes in every single state that you play in.
Shut the fuck up.
So a lot of it, so a lot of it is tax strategy too, because you could be making all this money, but if you're not properly working with the right people, working with the right CPA, you're going to be like paying most of your money in taxes.
Damn.
And then you find a lot of people that actually have owed taxes for the last 3 years because they just don't want to pay them because they weren't properly had a plan in place. So
holy shit. I never even thought, I mean, I do something similar because of like having an online business and traveling and things like that. So I know what you're talking about, but I never even thought about sports, like athletes that travel from state to state to state.
Yeah.
Poor bastards.
So my partner and I, we work with a lot of athletes and it's just, you come into a large sum of money and you're like, what do I do? So I also, and I think this is a big misconception with people in that industry. They're like, oh, I'm not ready yet. Or, oh, my show hasn't started. Or, oh, it's a slow season. I'm like, let's just meet. Our meetings are so
chill,
all about you.
Yeah.
They're not, we're not trying to like crunch numbers and knowing exactly what you're going to make. I just also like want to just get to know you because I want to know if I want to work with you, first of all.
Absolutely.
Because I have met with people that I definitely don't want to work with again.
You're like, no, thank you. No, thank you.
But if you like me, I like you. You trust me. I love to build trust. So, you know, a lot of people get scared to have the initial meeting because they don't know what to expect. And then they meet with me and they're like, oh, wow, this was so refreshing.
And it's fun. I think this, like, it's fun. I do too. I do too. Another thing is too, and I'm sure you come across this all the time, which I also do. People hate talking about money and they feel stupid and they don't want to be embarrassed or have someone like you who's an expert look down on them and be like, what an imbecile. Yeah. It's like, no.
If I could tell you the amount of women that I speak to and they're like, oh, please don't
judge me.
I feel so stupid for asking this question. I'm like, I am not judging you because also that was me like a few years ago. You
know,
like
we somewhere.
All start there and it's okay to ask.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't charge a fee for my services. Some advisors charge a fee up front to put a plan together. Yeah. My team and I actually don't charge a fee for our plans. We get paid through the back end through that. So any of our conversations for advice, for budgeting, for savings, any of our initial conversations, there's no fee. You're never charging me or writing me a check directly. I really believe in like establishing that trust because we are talking about serious shit.
Yes.
Also, I want to be with you forever. Like we're getting married. Like I'm going to be like your financial planner forever.
I'm your financial wifey.
Yeah. I mean, when I meet with people like that girl who's 24 living with her parents, like, yeah, she's not making much now. And I can't do much with her, but she's going to grow into, you know, she wants to start her own business and be an actress. And I'm like, I could see a huge potential for her and I'm going to grow with her. And so that's what I care about. I'm not doing it all for meeting with everyone that's just so rich. And that's not what it's for
right.
me. It's really about helping people.
I was listening to someone the other day. I can't remember who it was, but they said like, if you're 25 and you take $100 a week and you put it into some kind of compounding interest, by the time that you, like say you retire at 65, you'll have $1 million. And like, how many times You can't even fucking leave the house anymore.
I know.
Without spending $100 a day.
I know.
So can you imagine just taking that $100 every week, just like acting like it never happened and putting it into some kind of account. And then by the time you're 65, you have $1 million just chilling there.
It's all about the mindset. And we always say that if you have money coming in, you have the ability to save.
Amen.
Everyone's like, I don't have, you know, obviously I understand it's, and I'm not trying to be,
you're not making seven figures a month,
but I get it. Like rent can be expensive. It could be swallowing up your whole income. And I definitely understand that part of it. But if you have things in place or you're not paying up the ass in rent or in student loans and you have like a good plan in place, I do believe everyone has the ability to save something.
I agree.
Something.
I agree.
You know, and it's just about the mindset. It's like, okay, I have a little bit extra in my account. Am I going to put this away or am I going to spend it on something?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like training your mind. Like we like to say we're like personal trainers. Like you can relate. Like are people, do people have a better turnout with their bodies with a personal trainer or without a personal trainer?
Oh, 100% personal trainer.
Yeah. So if you have a financial planner, if you're doing it on your own, how do you think you're going to end
up? 100%. It's accountability.
Yeah.
It's knowing like every month that person's going to be like, why the fuck did you do this? And what the hell, you know?
Yeah.
Well, if you're working with someone like me, that's how I talk, you know?
Yeah.
You've done it before.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the financial abuse again. I want to backtrack because I think this is something that is plaguing our society, not just in America, but all across the globe, because we have listeners from all across the globe. What is like your biggest and best advice for someone who's in that kind of situation where they might not even realize they're being financially controlled and financially abused? And I know you see a lot of this.
Yeah.
So what is your advice for people that come to you and they start giving you the song and dance and you're like, fuck, bitch, you're being financially abused?
Yeah. I would say, do you have an emergency fund in place? What will you do if money's not coming in?
Yes.
If you get hurt or if he isn't working?
Yes.
What will you do? Do you have a backup plan? Do you have that fund in place?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the right insurance in place for your family, for your kids, for your home? What do you have retirement set up? What are your plans for your retirement?
Yes.
So meet with me and I will. No, but that would be my advice, to meet with me.
And everyone, and we've talked about this before, where everyone that comes to you is so different.
Yeah.
Like no two people are alike. So that's why, like, before we did this podcast, like, it's hard for Francesca to give very specific advice because, like, everyone's different and everyone's in different positions, right?
Yeah.
And everyone's at different ages. And there's women out there who, and we can relate because the way that we grew up is women have never worked a day in their lives, right? They're stay-at-home moms. They get an allowance every week, right? And I remember when I, did you work with me when I had my health center in Wellesley, Massachusetts?
Not in Wellesley.
Or just up in Hudson?
Just in Hudson.
Okay. So a lot of the women that I used to work with in Wellesley were like stay at home, Lululemon wearing, like Range Rover driving, like yummy mummies. And they would like drop their kids off in the morning and then they'd go to work out and then they'd go to Starbucks and then have lunch with a friend and then they'd bring their, you know, that was like their thing. And I remember.
Very familiar.
Yes. Well, you live in a, you grew up in a very similar area in Massachusetts. So I remember them telling me, I'll never forget this. We were all working out one day in the gym and they were like, yeah, every time I go to like the grocery store, when it asked me if I want cash back, I'll get like an extra $100. And I was like, for what? Because, you know, I didn't have a man. I paid for my own shit. I wasn't raised this way.
So they can tuck the money away.
And every week they tuck the money. Every time they go to the grocery store, they tuck the money away because when it shows up on their husband's bills, you guys, I'm not saying to do this. Everyone's like, well, this is fucking genius. This is genius. But it was actually kind of like, scary to me when I heard, because I was like, holy shit, like this is how you get a little bit of extra money, because when it comes up on the bill, it doesn't say like this much for groceries and then cash back.
No,
it just says like the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the men, they don't know that they're getting cash back because they're not like looking through fucking grocery receipts.
Yeah.
But how many women have done this for like fucking a million years? And like, that's how they survived.
I know. And I understand it.
Totally.
And it's sort of smart.
Yeah, it's
fucking
genius.
But also, it's sad because it's all about just knowing what you have and feeling empowered with what you have.
Yeah.
And knowing why we're recommending things. So kind of back on what you were saying. So every meeting is specific to each client. So I have an initial meeting. It's about 45 minutes. I ask them a million questions. Mm-hmm. It's called like a fact finder.
Yep.
So I'm asking you a bunch of questions.
Yep.
I want to know how your mind works with money. Like I said before, how you grew up with money. What is your philosophy on savings? What is your philosophy on insurance? how do you feel about certain things? I really get to know you. And then my team and I built a plan based on what you told me.
I love that.
And then there'll be, you know, there'll be gaps in the plan based on what you told me. And, you know, I am licensed to let you know as a fiduciary, like I act under the laws of a fiduciary. Mm-hmm. So if I see a gap in your plan, I legally have to let you know.
Yes.
But it's all about how you want to move forward. So if you need, you know, if you want to go at your own pace, that's totally fine. Mm-hmm. I have to let you know because I want the best for you and I want the best for my clients. Mm-hmm. But I'm all about education. So then we'll explain why we're implementing certain things, why certain things are suggested. And then we kind of go from there. But that's the first phase of planning, getting the risk in place. And then we can kind of do the sexier stuff, the investments.
That, and I love that you actually have a real energetic meeting because it's energy. You know, you want to be like, okay, where's your head at? Like, where did you come from? It's not just like, okay, bring me a box of receipts of all the shit you pay. You know what I mean? Because that's what people think financial planning is.
Yeah. Like, I'm just going to sell you something. Like, no, it's not. You know, there are advisors that literally just will set up a retirement account for you or will just sell you insurance. I call myself a comprehensive planner.
I love that.
So I'm looking at your whole picture, what you want today, what you want tomorrow, what you want in 20 years.
I love this.
And then obviously you're going to change in the and adapt over those years. You're going to, you know, either get married, have kids, or start a business.
Right.
But we work together and we adapt that plan together. So that's why I feel like what I do is different and what I do is very beneficial.
I've never heard of anyone doing it like this. Yeah. Honestly, and I have financial planners. I've had them. They only work with people that make over a certain amount of money a year, like yada yada. And they're all just like old farty white men.
Yeah, I know.
I love you. Thank you for helping me be a rich bitch. But it's like, I just feel like this is just so much more fun. And because, you know, money can be hard to speak about. Money can be kind of a pain in the ass sometimes for people. I mean, I love it, but I also forcefully educated myself around it.
Yeah.
And like you, I had to learn the hard way in a lot, a lot of ways, you know? What do you think that women's biggest issues are right now with their money? Do you think it's like they just are like YOLO and they get money and they fucking blow it on stupid shit? Like what do you see the most like women doing wrong with their money?
I think that everyone just wants to like do it all at once. So they come into, you know, a lump sum of money or they're, you know, killing it and they just want to do it all because social media is brutal.
Yes.
And like I go through social media, I'm like, do I need that new eyeliner? Like, do I need that? Do I want to, like, it's just in your face. So it's like learning how to, and I don't believe in budgeting. And that's a thing that I feel like is also a misconception.
I love this because
I don't believe in strict, rigid budgeting. Like, oh my gosh, you can't spend more than this on food a week.
Yes.
It's like I told you, 50% of your fixed expenses, 50% of your income go into your fixed expenses, 30% into your planning, and then 20% left over for the fun stuff.
So, like, what are your fixed expenses? Let's talk about your they don't even know.
Rent.
Okay. You rent or your mortgage.
Yep. You rent or your mortgage, gas, anything that you can't live without. So your utilities, your food, going out to dinner, I wouldn't say is a fixed expense, but like groceries, your subscriptions, anything that you pay monthly.
Yes.
So, anything that's, you can't live without.
Yes.
That's your fix.
Like, so listen, bitches, going to Victoria's Secret and paying 28.9% interest every month on a stupid fucking bra is not your fixed.
I know.
Tell them.
It's not your fixed. And I love to shop.
Oh, fuck yeah, bitch. Absolutely.
But, you know, so I have my clients fill out a budget sheet.
Yes.
And it's not because I want them to live off this budget. Like, oh my gosh, like they can't not live with it.
Yes.
It's more seeing what they spend monthly, going through their, you know, bank statements and saying, oh, like I actually spend way more on that this month. Like, and it's annoying to do, but it's very eye-opening to do a budget sheet. And then we kind of assess that and we say, okay, well, you technically have $3,000 left over as your savings capacity. Do you feel like, Katie, you are able to save $3,000 a month? Or are you just using that towards your Victoria's Secret bill?
Yes, yes.
You know, so that's what's eye-opening because we get the fix down and then we have their salary.
Mm-hmm.
And then the way I have the budget sheet set up is that it actually like does an equation to go to what your savings capacity is. So then you see what's left over.
Yeah. And then you look and go, I ate out 24 times last month.
Yep.
Because you don't realize you're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Like, and you're I have the capacity to save that much.
Dude, I know. It's super eye-opening. Like even like last month, I had a super busy month and I actually am a good cook. So I like to cook at
Me
home.
Too.
And I know that you love to cook mm-hmm. too. And like Matt will be like, I don't want to go out to eat. I'm so sick of eating out. And I'm like, well, I don't have fucking time to cook. Yeah. Like, what do you want me to do? And then at the end of the month, I go through my expenses and I'm like, I just spent
Matt's fault.
Blame Matt. Yeah. But I'm like, dude, we just spent $3,500 eating out. Like, who are we?
Yeah.
Who do we think we fucking are?
I know.
Like, even we have the money.
Yeah.
But I'm like, why wouldn't we reallocate this money to something or maybe a vacation? Doesn't have to be like put it all in the bank, like, you know, Jacob Marley from fucking Christmas Carol, you know, like it can be something that you put towards something else or even, you know, putting it back into your business or whatever.
Yes.
But,
and also, certain things can be business expenses, Katie.
Oh, I know. Tell me
so
more.
Those dinners can be, if you mention dinner, it could consider.
I actually do write a lot of my dinners off.
Yeah,
I do. But so
that's
there's
another
only
thing with business owners, though, I have to say, like, they don't know about those things.
And this is another thing, too, is when you work like a W-2, like a salary job, like I have so many friends who are doctors, right? And they make a lot of money. But there's a cap on how much they can make. And they get fucked up the butthole with taxes.
Yeah.
So an entrepreneur like moi, I'm creative with my write-offs, you know, and I can write so many things off that these poor bastards that are like doing amazing things for the world, they just don't have the same lenient. It's kind of sad in a way.
It is sad. Yeah.
You know, that's why I think everybody should have some kind of like a side hustle so they can like actually like put more into their taxes and not get raped and raked over the
or
polls.
Have like different accounts set up that are not, you know, either that are not going to be taxed or certain retirement accounts that are benefiting
you. But no one knows
you.
This shit.
Yeah.
And this is the problem. Mm-hmm. Same thing with like people who, you know, they start a business and then they like blow through their money. And I'm like, dude, you could have written this off. You could have written that off.
Yeah, because there's a difference between being rich.
Okay.
Rich. Yes. Rich is just having a bunch of money.
Tell me.
Wealthy is having a lot of money and allocating that in a certain way.
Amen. Because there, I always say this, and you back it up every time we talk, where you're like, there's a big difference between rich and wealthy. So you want to be wealthy.
Yes.
You don't want to just be like rich.
Yeah. Rich is like what you said earlier, ordering the bottle service, like going shopping, like making all this money on OnlyFans and then like having it all
blowing
be gone.
It. Yeah.
So wealthy is having that money and still having fun. I definitely believe in having fun.
Yes.
Like
life's too short.
No. Yes. Like one thing for me is like, I have to have my nails done. Like I don't care about the lashes. I don't really care about certain things, but my nails are like my thing.
Yes.
So I make sure that I have that in place and like my, you know, fun.
You know,
stuff.
Every 3 weeks you go get your pedicure and your manicure and you're like living your best life.
But there's a difference, you know, like just, and it's tempting. You come into a lot of money. You don't come for money. And then you come into a lot of money. You're like, what the hell? Like,
well, that's what happened to me when I was younger. Yeah. And like right around the time that I had my TV show, I started making a lot of money and I had always done well. But when that started happening, I was fucking like, I was a psychopath. Yeah. I would go to freaking Neiman Marcus and buy like all kinds of clothes, shoes. I had every purse, everything that was new. And I'll never forget one of my financial advisors, who's this old, he's passed away now, but he was a funny motherfucker. And he would say to me, you know, if you wear it on your ass, it doesn't mean it's an asset.
Love that.
And I was like, fuck you, dude. And now that I'm older, I'm like, he's so right. Because that's the thing too, is you see this shit on Instagram. You see these people, I'm in Saint-Tropez with my Birkin bag and my lubes and all this shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, honey, they're like, most people probably think that the shit you have on is fake because they don't even know any better. And all the people that I know, and I have a lot of friends that are multi-millionaires and even billionaires, they dress like homeless.
I know.
They wear
Adam Sandler effect.
What is that? He's out of his fucking mind right now. Did you see Jennifer Aniston rip him to shreds?
No.
She was like embarrassed on the red carpet to stand next to him.
I love it.
She's like, what are you wearing?
Think about how much money he's saving.
Oh my God, 100%. And his wife is always like dressed to the nines and he's like shows up in like,
well, that's why.
A stain. Yeah, probably, right? She's just milking him. But he shows up in like a stained sweatshirt with like basketball shorts on from like 1987 when he hadn't had a haircut in like 4 months. And he's like, what? I'm Adam fucking Sandler. I can do whatever the hell I want to do, you know?
But no, but that's going to your part of, I mean, just because you have all this money doesn't mean we have to flash it around.
Yep.
But let me ask you something. One of my mentors, when I first started, brought this up to me and asked one of our clients.
Okay.
If I had to ask you what your biggest asset is, what would you say?
Myself.
Oh, you actually got it right.
Myself.
So many people are like, my car, my child.
That's not an asset.
It's you. It's you.
Me.
Because your ability to make income, your ability to have this fucking awesome business is your biggest asset.
Yeah. And if something happens to me,
Yeah.
What happens?
What are you going to do?
Well, I have a whole backup plan.
Okay. Well, yeah, because you met with a planner.
Yeah, because my planner's like, so if you fucking die and become, or like you fucking get into an accident, you become incapacitated, who's going to do all this shit for Ambitious? And I had to like really sit back and think about it. And I had to put very specific things in place. But I would say 99.9% of my friends who are coaches don't have that.
No.
Like if they get sick.
Yeah.
Or something happens to them, they're fucked. Their whole business will just
and
crumble.
No one thinks they're ever going to get sick.
But it
doesn't even have to be something so crazy. It could be something small that just
you know me, I'm Portuguese. It's all about worst case scenario. Right.
But
Italians are like that.
I mean,
too.
It can be even like having pregnancy complications and having to be out of work longer than you had to be.
Yeah.
But having things in place to protect you. And that's not even with owning a business. That's just with having a corporate job. Like, because your job is only going to be covering so much of your salary if something happens to you. And then eventually, I hate to say it, they're not gonna keep paying you forever. You know, whatever it is, disability through work.
Yeah.
So you have to make sure you have your own shit covered because.
Are you proud of me?
Yeah.
That I said myself. You're like, Katie Boyd's a genius.
I wish we kind of played along with my whole spiel over here. I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry. You should have prepped me before the podcast. No, but because I've done all this work, I know that I'm my biggest asset. But most people would say, my house, my car, my this,
my bag. Oh. Yeah.
No, it's not. Yeah. It's
I mean,
not.
Those Birkin bags are worth a lot, but like
some things are actual investments, but like,
yeah,
I live in Southern New Hampshire, honey, like no one's wearing Birkin bags.
But if you stop, obviously you have a husband that can take care of you and everything. But if something happened to you and your income wasn't in place anymore, well, I mean, a lot of things would have to change. I mean, you would be okay. But if you're, you know, young, living alone and something were to happen to you, your income is like cut in half. What is your plan? What are you going to do? Open up a new credit card and start racking that up. Oof. Dig into your savings. What? Reach into your investments and get, you know, taxed on those.
Yeah.
What is your plan?
Yes.
So just having that in place, that's, you know, with insurance, that's with, you know, an emergency saving, that's making sure, you know, I look with a lot of my clients with their work benefits, and I'm not trying to ever replace your work benefits.
Yes.
I'm trying to see what they're giving you and kind of fill in that gap with you.
Of course.
So just knowing what you have and knowing when that happens, because you never know when something's going to happen.
It's funny because Matt's traveling this week for work. Yeah. And today he was like, you know, wrapping up everything and, you know, just crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's before he got on the plane. And he texted me this morning, just so you know, here's all the passwords for all of our shit, right? Like our IRAs, like everything. He's like, here's where all the paperwork is. If God forbid something happens to me, here's like all the people that you need to call. That's what he texted me today. Not like, hey, babe. Maybe I can get a quickie before I get on the plane tomorrow morning. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like nothing like that. He's like, this is where all the financial things are because we have six businesses in between us. And I have a stepdaughter who's his daughter from his first marriage, who's like my own child. And she works for us full time. We have a whole team of people that work for us. Like if God forbid something happened to Matt, like I'd have to take care of his business.
Yeah.
So you have to be on your game. And I just think it's not a sexy thing.
No,
to talk about these things.
It's not.
It's not fun. It's not sexy. It's not fairy tale esque, but this is the reality. And I think that the more women in our Ambitious community are more reality based, you're just going to protect yourself. And when you get older, because can I tell you like a financial fear of mine?
What?
Okay. I don't know where this comes from,
what?
But I feel like I'm going to get old and I'm going to be like an old lady with like all by myself because I don't have any children of my own, right? So I'm going to be this old fucking lady with no children and like five dogs and my husband's going to be dead. And then like I'm going to end up in like a fucking nursing home, but it's not going to be like a fancy one. It's going to be like one where they like fucking hit you and shit.
Oh my gosh.
Because that's what happens to people
when
they don't know where their fucking money is and they don't plan for the future.
Yeah.
And no one sat me down and said, listen, someday you're going to get fucking old and crotchety and you're going to have to like have a backup plan to take care of yourself. So I have like these reoccurring nightmares of me just like being in like this grungy nursing home and like, you know, peeing my bed and like no one helping me like that. And I know that sounds so crazy.
But there are like, I mean, that's another conversation because I have a lot of clients that are in their 40s, 50s that are now taking care of their parents. And it's such a financial burden for them.
Yep.
I mean, my mom and my aunt like have to, they would do it a million times over.
Of course.
But, you know, they have to, you know, hire a nurse and go over a lot. And I don't think there's people that are in way worse situations with having to pay for a nursing home. Those are so expensive.
So expensive.
But, you know, people that go through that, they don't want to go have their kids deal with that for them. So even having things in place for yourself when you're at an age,
yes,
and having the, you know, a long-term care plan in mm-hmm. place. So when you get old, you don't have to have your kids take on this burden, moved out of state. I know people that, you know, have to move to take care of their parents. Yep. And of course we want to do that.
Of course.
But it should never be such a financial burden that it's like ruining, you know, other people's futures. Yeah. There has to be some, there are, and people don't think it's possible, but it is possible. You just have to have it in place and want to do the work and want to have these conversations.
I had this conversation last year when I went and met with the woman who does my trust.
Yeah.
And when you're doing that work, have you done this yet?
Yeah.
You're going to.
Well, so
you're going to be doing it with your fiance, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to do this with. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you have to talk about shit that's so uncomfortable and it makes you so depressed. And Matt and I never fought, but there was definitely like things that
tension
because you're like, you know, he would say like, well, what if you die and I die? Like, what percentage goes to your mother and father? What percentage? Because you always want to like, and I'm not the fucking financial expert here, but my trust lawyer was like, you want to make sure that when you're giving your funds, it's going down and not up, because most likely your parents are going to pass away before you. And so then you have to talk about like, and do you want a DNR? Do not resuscitate. And do you, and I'm like, I don't fucking know. I don't. Because you don't ever think about these things. So it's such a slap in the face when you have to actually do it. But one thing, because everyone talks about having a will.
Yep.
But they don't realize like you have to have a trust because a will end up in probate court a lot and you don't want that to happen, right? So this is what my lawyer was telling me. And I called my mom after and I was like, Ma, do you have like a will, a trust? And she's like, oh, are you fucking kidding me? What the fuck? And I'm like,
yeah, no one wants to talk about it.
I'm like, Mom, if you pass away, my sister lives with my mom and dad and with her children and her husband, because they have like the Portuguese dream house where like the in-laws live downstairs. And so, you know, I was like, what if this happens? And she's like, I don't know. And, or just like, I know this is off topic, but this goes along with what we're kind of talking about is like, you know, when your family passes away, like who's going to fucking clean out the house? Like all this, no one thinks about the financial, how are you going to get buried? Yeah. Who's going to pay for your funeral? What do you want your funeral to be? Do you want to be cremated? Do you want to go in a box? Do you want to be scattered in fucking Maui? I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I know someone that's in severe debt right now because three of her family members died and she had to pay for the funeral costs. Fuck. And that's why you need to have things in place.
Yes.
Because things are in place for a reason.
Tell the bitches out there, this is why you need to have things in place. Listen to Francesca Primavera. She fucking knows. This is so, like, obviously, I've done all this stuff.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted you to come on so bad, because I'm like, I can speak to it from my own personal, like, you know, life experience, but you are like the fucking expert at this shit. And just you speaking and us just kind of rapping about this shit that it plagues everyone, but no one wants to talk about, I think is such a sobering, eye-opening experience. Plus we're doing it in a fun, fun way, not like a demonic dark, like someone's going to die and you're going to be fucked and you know, the casket's going to cost $7,000 because this is most people's reality. And how many people can afford that? Not many,
not many,
you know?
Yeah. Ooh. It's all about having a plan, and it's scary to talk about when you're
plan to fail. Remember, I used to say that to you guys when you were doing pageants.
It's scary to talk about. I mean, you know, you're in your 20s, you're invincible, you're barely like making it by with like everything, you're starting your career, but it's good to have these conversations now. And I truly believe that so many people want to have these conversations with me sometimes, but they're just so scared to have the first meeting because they're afraid what I'm going to say, they're afraid of judgment. So just know that these conversations don't have to be scary. No one is judging you. Trust me, I've seen one extreme to the other. Like, no one's judging anyone. Like, that is not what I'm here for. I'm here to help you. So we're not going back. And like I like to say, like, you know, CPAs kind of look in the back rear view window.
Yes.
Mirror or window. Yeah. Mirror.
Yep. I know what you're talking about.
I am looking front, like right now and future. Like future.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care about like, I mean, I care about how much debt you have, but I don't care why or, you know, I care about why actually.
Because we're trying to do some forensic studies on why you got to this place. But I know,
you
know what you're saying.
There's no judgment. Let's just focus on how we can change, you know, these habits that we've, you know, established over the years, or how we can create a better future for ourselves. And what I say to a lot of people, and this is like the golden like word to people, they love it. Generational wealth.
Ooh,
we want the next generation to be like so much more better off than, I mean, I was, or my parents.
Of course.
Because, so that's why this has to be an open conversation. just like so many other topics that we talk about now that are just, were so hush hush back then. Like even, you know, getting into like, you know, the Me Too moment, everything was so hush hush. Yes. No one talked about it. Now it's like a very open conversation.
Totally. Thank
and
God.
People are aware. And obviously that's a different extreme, but you know, let's not make these conversations. So let's not hide it. You know, let's just be open-minded, have these conversations and make it available to everyone.
I think there's been so much generational shame yeah. about money.
Yeah.
And like where, so my mom's side of the family's Portuguese mm-hmm. and they never talk about money. It's like, it's gauche, it's rude, it's like low class to talk about money. And then my other side of my family, my dad's side, comes from Canada, which they are like, so do not speak about money at all. Yeah. They don't speak about anything. They're like, whatever's happening in the house, no one has to know outside that. I don't know if you've ever heard things yeah, like this before. Like, we don't tell anything that goes yeah. behind that. And that's how I grew up. So when I started talking about money,
and that's so not who you are.
And I'm the opposite. Well, I think I'm so friggin' rogue the other way yeah. because, you know, it's almost like when someone grows up in like a Baptist Christian mm-hmm. background, they're like, I'm gonna fuck everybody and yeah. I'm gonna be a porn star. And it's like, yeah, because they were so, you know, pushed down for so many yeah. years. And I always was like, why don't we talk about this shit? Like, what is the fucking big deal? Even like sex in my house, like yeah. no one talked about sex. It was like not yeah. a thing, you know? And I think that has a lot to do with the ethnicity and like yeah. where they're from, but just like.
And there's a lot of shame when it comes to money.
So much fucking and shame. Why? Like,
yeah, it's just, I don't.
And it's generational shame.
It's generational. And it's just the misconceptions of, oh, I don't have enough money to talk to someone like that. Or, oh, but I'm like, it's not. People just think financial planner, investing. It's not always mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. And that's something I really try to like get through my clients' heads yep. or people that are like wanting to take a meeting with me and they're not sure. I'm like, it's definitely more than that.
So you're saying to the people out there, because I urge each and every one of you to go to the show notes, contact Francesca, get on a call, because you can do mm-hmm. calls too. It doesn't have to be in person.
No,
it could
yeah,
be Zoom.
Call, Zoom. I mostly do Zoom, actually. I have more clients
awesome.
Out of state than in state.
That's the one thing I was going to ask you. So, because I'm going to put all your stuff in the show mm-hmm. notes. So guys, after you listen to this podcast, scroll down to wherever you're listening to the show notes, contact Francesca. I'll put all your information mm-hmm. There. But is it similar to being an attorney where you can only help someone in state? You can help people all over, right?
Yep. I just have to be licensed in that state. So I'm licensed in about 15 states now. So if I were to meet with someone that I'm not licensed in, I would just get that license. It's super easy.
Really?
Just pay a fee.
Oh, that's cool. That's awesome.
So I'm able to meet with anyone essentially, just not out of the country,
yes,
of course.
Yes. So what they would do is they would contact you.
Yep.
You would set up an appointment to do, what do you call it? I call it a discovery call. What do you call
discovery
it?
Discovery call, we can call it.
Okay, but what do you call it?
A fact finder.
Okay, so you have a call that's a fact finder call. What do they need? Do they need to prepare?
No, nothing. No.
Swear to God.
Yes, swear to God. I never want to give homework like the first meeting and like make it even more scary for people. I'll give a little homework after the first meeting when you like me a little bit.
No, I give them homework right off the bat. I'm like,
no, it turns people away.
I know, duh. Duh.
Maybe
duh.
I need to, no. No, we really getting to know you. So like I said, it's like about 30 to 45 minutes, really getting to know you, tell you about my process.
It's totally free.
Totally free. You're never paying me a fee.
Because you're going on a date.
Yeah, we're going on a date. We're going to see
you're
if we like
each other. You're having a cocktail.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you a little more of the questions than I would hope someone would ask me on a first date. But yes, I'm really going to get to know
you. Didn't go on
you.
A first date with Matt Babine. Because he was asking me all kinds of shit. He was asking me to put my dog to sleep and everything.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. Can you believe I married him?
What?
My dog was sick. And he's like, you should really put that dog to sleep. And I was like, I fucking hate you. You're not getting a second date, dude. Then he kept trying to kiss me. I was like, we can't talk about my dead dog. And then like you try to stick your tongue down my throat at the same time. So don't do that to the people.
Okay. Well,
don't do Matt Babine-isms.
I won't. I promise. no, but yeah. And then we'll do, you know, a second call. I'll have you fill out the budget sheet. So I just know your savings capacity and I know what you have.
And what if they don't know certain things? It's okay to leave it blank, right?
Yeah. Essentially, you probably like I'll ask them to send me their work benefits if they have them or any accounts that they've set up before, statements of, you know, if they had student loans mm-hmm. or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And then my team and I establish a specific plan for that person.
Awesome.
And that meeting is just literally like education heavy. Usually no decisions are made in that meeting. Mm-hmm. Ask me a million questions. It's going to be a lot of information, but I'm able to like really curate like a plan for specific for each person. So
awesome.
How are you going to be if, you know, retirement? How would you be right now if you had something happened to you and nothing was set up? What would happen with your net worth? What is on your balance sheet? Are you negative? Or do you have a negative net worth, or do you have a positive net worth?
Well, most people have negative net worth.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And when
I meet
people that have positive, I'm actually like very impressed.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunately a lot of it's loans, student loans.
Is that what you see the most? Is just a lot of student loans, a lot of credit card debt.
Credit cards.
Especially the last couple of years during the pandemic. Have you seen people's credit card debt significantly raise over the last couple of years because of the pandemic?
Yeah.
Fuck.
I know. And then, you know, I work with a lot of people that are actors and entertainment, and they have the strike and COVID.
Fuck off. I know.
Yeah, it's really tough. Slammed. But, you know, there's
OnlyFans, though, they're fucking killing it. They're like, yes, queen.
I know.
God bless.
It's crazy.
It's like the flip-flop.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody thought you had to be like this big star to make money, and like, no, you don't. You just have an OnlyFans and show your feet.
Yeah, you could show your feet. I mean, it's crazy what you can do on there.
People like are into armpit cracks.
I've seen some stuff. Some of my colleagues meet with some girls that I don't even want to say. I'll tell you after this.
It's amazing, right?
It's crazy.
I think it's, you know what? I'm like, I don't judge that shit because I mean, I've had my fair share of crazy shit that I've done in my life. But I'm like, if there's a fucking space and you can fill it up.
And I mean, on that side of everyone wants to see someone relatable on OnlyFans. No one wants to see this like, you know,
supermodel.
Supermodel, like plastic, like Barbie on OnlyFans. Mm-hmm. They want to see like the relatable girls from like the Midwest.
I watched a show about like, I don't know. It was about Pornhub, I think. I think it was about Pornhub and OnlyFans. I watched it on Netflix, and like no one there was like winning, you know, Miss Universe.
I know. Yeah.
And they were like making millions of dollars a month. A month.
I know.
It's crazy. I gotta rethink my life.
I know. Should I be like teaching financial planning, like on, but not, but just fully clothed, but like just charging you know?
Fuck it. Why not? You're beautiful and people would love to listen to you. I'm just saying. I mean, we could talk off camera.
Crazy.
What else do you have to say to people? Anything that we missed about finance or just pep talk in these hoes?
Yeah. Just know what you have, like, and just, I don't know, just feel empowered to want to know more about yourself and how you can help your future.
And don't be afraid.
And yeah, don't be afraid. It's just no judgments are made here. And I find a lot of my clients, like when I tell them these things, they're like, oh my gosh, this is so helpful. Or you're really like, I had a client the other day. She told us that she feels like that we're giving her a neck massage every time she meets with us. That we're calming her so much.
Really?
I'm like, thank you. Yeah.
Well, because it's probably scary for a lot of people and it feels tense to even think about money if you don't come from an empowered place.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
And especially if you've been married to someone for a really long time who has controlled the money and even controlled it in an abusive way.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's another thing too. Like I think you have to talk more about the finance, not today, but like just on your like social media or whatever. The financial abuse, dude, it's real. And people don't even know that they're being abused.
Yeah. I'm like very, very like passionate about working with people that have like been through abuse, like either sexual assault or like physical assault.
Yeah.
But, you know, people go in, like I told you earlier, like people are faced with something that's, you know, a sexual assault when they were, you know, in their 20s by, you know, a stranger or their boyfriend or whoever. And then they're so afraid to, they don't have that confidence in themselves to want to like be independent. And I really feel like a lot of confidence stems from and it's not about having a lot of money. It's just knowing what you have and knowing how your future is going to be.
And knowing you're going to be okay.
And knowing that you're going to be okay.
That, like I was in my early 20s, I was dating seriously. Well, I thought it was serious, but you know, when you're in your 20s, everything's more serious. But I was dating a guy who was about 14 years older than me. He owned the gym that I worked at.
So, I remember hearing this story on your podcast.
Right? So you're like, he owned the gym I worked at.
Yep.
He controlled my finances. He paid all the bills and he made me, and now I know that I allowed it, but I didn't know any better. Mm-hmm. He made me think like, you will never have anything without me.
Yeah.
And he just like fucking pounded that into my head. So when I left that relationship, and it was a rough go for a long time, when I left that relationship, I just said to myself, like, I don't give a fuck. No man will ever fucking control my money again. And it never happened. And then from that moment, I really delved deep into learning as much as I could about money. And I think that that's why I am so successful now, because of that adverse problem.
Yeah.
It's usually the worst things that happen to you is what is the catalyst that make you grow and evolve into this like powerhouse. Definitely. Don't you think?
Definitely.
I'm actually, and I know that you'll probably agree with me, I'm really grateful for all the bad things that happened.
Oh, I
even
am
like
too.
The worst of the worst, yeah. Shit. Because I'm like, I can look back and connect the dots and say, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't be who I am today.
Yeah.
Where most people look at it and go like, oh, you know, I'm a victim. I say use your adversity to propel your power.
Yeah, definitely. I think some of the, so when I was in college, I was raped and kidnapped, and thankfully he got 12 years in prison. Yeah. Scary, wow. Terrible. It was a long process. It was like a 3-year court system process.
Oh my God.
Really? It was.
That must have been a little stressful.
It was terrible. I lost PTSD. My boyfriend at the time. I lost some friends. It was terrible. And I was not sure what happened because I was so young and just, you know, I froze. I didn't fight back. So it was a lot with that. But looking back and all the shit I went through with that boyfriend, all the shit I went through after that, like finding myself, all the shit I went through like the court system, like 2 weeks of like trial, facing a jury. Ugh. It was terrifying. But you're I so truly strong. Believe that that has made me who I am today. That has made me, that's going to make me a better wife, a better mother,
amen.
A better businesswoman, because I now have like so much more confidence in myself that I can like get through anything. And like, I honestly, like, I'm glad it happened to me. I think I was also meant to tell people about my story because I'm very open about it. So, you know, aside from the financial planning and how passionate I am with that, like, I'm also very passionate about like being open about my story. Mine was a little, you know, extreme circumstances, but there are so many people that go through the same thing every day and they're just afraid or don't know anyone to talk about it with. Yeah. And like, that's why I'm very open about it. And you can rise from it. It's amen. Not going to break you. Mm-hmm. I'm not a victim. Like I am like now way, like I'm grown into the person I am today because of that. And it sucked and it was scary and it was terrible. And I hope that person rots in prison.
Oh.
But
yes, same.
But it made me who I am today. And I even think I'm like found this career in a weird way because of that, because I moved to LA and then I discovered myself in LA and I learned a lot.
So when this happened to you, you were like, I'm fucking out of here.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. I moved school.
Which is totally
to Florida,
normal, by the way.
And then, yeah. And then I went to Florida and when I went to California. But I just learned so much. I knew the type of man I want to be with, the type of, you know, so much about myself through that thing, which is terrible, but you know,
thank you for sharing that. And I know that so many, the listeners out there have been through sexual assault. I have been through sexual assault. And honestly, again, I totally align with what you're saying. Like if these things didn't happen to us, we would not be sitting talking the way we are today. You know, that's why I always tell all the women, and to second what you're saying is like, don't be ashamed of yourself and don't be embarrassed. Like you don't realize by telling your story, it's giving so many other people permission to do the same and to not feel bad about themselves and ashamed. Cause I think that's the worst thing in the world is to feel ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you felt, I'm sure you felt like that after like, oh my God, why? Cause you, when you're sexually assaulted, you think of like, I could have done this and why I could have did it. I do that. And
Katie, I was wearing jeans and a t-shirt. I was not, you know,
right. And then not that that even matters.
No, but what I'm saying is there's a lot of the old school mindset of like, what were you wearing?
Oh, yes. I got that too when I was assaulted.
Why didn't he like steal your wallet? I'm like, because he didn't want my wallet. He wanted me.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just a lot of, so
versus a sexual predator.
Yeah.
He's not trying to get your credit cards.
Why weren't you all like bloody and like bruised? I'm like, it's just, but you know, you had a growth. I'm glad those people said those things to me.
Amen.
Because I learned a lot about those people.
Oh, yes. Thank you for showing me your true colors, motherfucker.
Yeah. And just, you know, I grew from it. I created such tough skin for myself. I was raised like pretty like just kind of.
I love we're laughing because we both are looking at each other like, yes.
I was a little spoiled growing up.
That's okay.
And I grew up in a town where nothing really happened. And so, you know, I'm glad I moved away. I would have moved away if that didn't happen to me, to be honest.
But the thing is, you weren't growing up in the hood where things like that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like I grew up like almost in the hood.
Yeah.
So like shit like that was like, okay, so what?
Yeah.
But where you came from and how you were raised, like those types of things don't happen to people like you.
But they do.
But they exactly.
And no one talks about it.
Thank you.
They happen behind closed doors.
Yeah. So this is what happens. And I mean, the sexual assault thing, I feel like it so resonates and it so aligns with even the money stuff because it's all about victimhood. It's all about shame and guilt and I could have done more. And what if I did this differently? But we as women, I think, have to just shake all that off.
We're so hard on ourselves.
Oh my God. We're the worst.
We're our worst own critic.
We truly
are. We really are.
We truly are. But the more that we educate ourselves, the more that we realize that everything that we need is already inside of us, that we don't need all this, all the 2 cents from people. Just like today, you have someone like Francesca that will sit your ass down and you will go through everything and it will be fun and it will be enjoyable and you are going to feel so empowered after. All you have to do is make the phone call. All you have to do is send the email and then start that journey. And I'm sure that there's going to be people that listen to this podcast that you get on a discovery call with and you're like, yeah, it doesn't align and that's okay. And that's great.
And they're not ready. That's another thing. Like if someone's not willing to put in the work, I want to help everyone, but I can't help you.
Yeah. You're not a babysitter.
Of course, I'm the one putting the plan together. Of course, I'm the one, you know, giving the advice. Mm-hmm. But if you're not going to put in the work of just even filling out the budget sheet or sending me your work benefits or not wanting to plan or canceling on me, like every, you know, like
I get that stuff too. Oh yeah. All the time.
But you have to want to change too. It's a two-way street.
Yeah.
I mean, just going back to like personal training, like, yeah, your personal trainer can tell you to go to the gym every day. But if you're not actually going and dieting, too, like you're not
going to tell you you can't eat cutlets.
Why don't you tell that story real
Francesca,
quick?
Francesca was one of my pageant girls when you were about 16 years old. Right. Beautiful. Fucking still is. But back in the day, like just like you should have been Miss Teen. I don't give a fuck. But whatever. You did other different things, you know?
And model for Party City.
Yeah. I love that for you. I love that for
you. I'll show you those photos later.
Please do. We're going to have those on my Instagram later. But so one day she's like, comes in, she's like, and you're with your nonna,
yeah,
your
my mom, I think.
And your mom. And I'm like,
this
is the funniest thing. She had gained weight. And I
I actually did.
Yeah. Weren't, you didn't gain weight. You were staying the same.
Oh, okay.
And, you were like, I don't know why I'm staying on your meal plan. And I was like, Francesca, oh my God. I go, tell me exactly what you were eating. And you go, well, I had broccoli and I had this. And then I had some cutlets. And I go, what the fuck is a cutlet? Now, mind you, I'm not Italian.
But you're probably thinking a cutlet.
I thought it was a chicken cutlet like in her titty. I did.
Oh, yeah.
Not that I haven't had my fair share of cutlets in my day. But I was just like, where the fuck did I write
an
cutlet?
Italian chicken cutlet, the most delicious thing you'll ever have.
Ever. Fucking ever.
Fried cheese.
Delish. Yum.
Breadcrumbs.
So good.
Thinly sliced. Ugh.
But can we talk about this? Was dairy on your diet? No.
No.
Was fucking gluten on your diet?
No.
And this bitch is like, well, my nonna made me some cutlets. So like it's just chicken. I was like, I looked at nonna. I was like, nonna, we can't do this anymore. But then we had this rolling joke.
And that is why I don't do pageants.
Yes, but we had this rolling joke about cutlets for like years after. I was like, oh God, the fucking cutlets, dude, the cutlets. But listen, she's come a long way, baby. She's friggin' helping women achieve their financial goals and becoming not just rich, but wealthy.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, is the biggest
thing. It is the biggest thing. And I'm so glad I'm in this career. And I really feel like I help people. And also, like, I am able to work with a bunch of people on my team that are specialized in different industries.
Awesome.
So if I ever meet with someone that's, you know, working in an industry that I'm not familiar, I'm able to bring like senior partners on my calls,
cool.
Which is so great.
Mm-hmm.
And people that are like heavily like working in investments and people that are just very familiar with certain, because everyone's plan is different.
Right.
So you want to make sure you have the right team. So I'm not an expert in everything. So I'm able to really bring on the right people for each client,
which
is really fun too.
Because
it just makes every call different.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Oh my God. So, all right. So where can people find you?
I'm going to link my website because it's, long.
It's a little long.
My name's very long, but you can find me on Instagram at Fran Premav. And then I'll link my email.
Yes.
And on my Instagram, there's also a link that can set up a call. But
awesome. And I'll put that all in the show notes.
Okay, perfect.
Dude, this was amazing.
I know. It was really
fun. Like, it's such a full circle moment for me, too, because I knew you when you were a teenager and I was still.
And we haven't seen each other since then.
But I feel like
but it didn't even. Yeah.
I feel like we didn't skip a beat.
Yeah.
You know? And it's such a full circle moment because it's like, I was in the pageant world. You were doing pageants. Mm-hmm. Now you're in financial planning and I don't know what the fuck I'm doing with my life.
Everything
else, you know, but it just goes to show you that we had a very good foundation and we knew that we were going to help people in some way, shape and form. And it's evolved over the years and, you know, you're doing what you're doing. I'm doing what I'm doing, but both of us are working to help make women's lives better.
Yeah.
Which
I'm
is
all
so
about that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I love you so much.
Yeah,
this
I
was
love
so
you too.
Awesome.
It was so fun.
All right, guys, get down to the show notes, reach out to Francesca, set up a, what is it called again?
fact finder.
Fact finder call. And she is going to help you not only be a rich bitch, but more importantly, a wealthy bitch, because that's everyone's friggin' goals.
Yes. Yeah. Let's just be.
Let's be fucking wealthy.
Yeah.
Not just,
I love it.
Not just popping bottles in the club.
I mean, we can
do that
build
too.
That into the plan.
Yeah.
Okay?
But not every, really night, not every
not
night.
Not every night.
These bitches. Every night.
Once in a while.
Fuck me.
It's in the plan.
You guys, thank you so much for listening to the Amp Bitches podcast. And please share this out with anyone that needs a little bit of wealth and abundance in their life. And like I always say, don't forget to stay ambitious, and I will see you next Tuesday. Bye, y'all.